Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? What does that mean to you? Today, in our message, we want to rejoice and bow before the wonderful truth of God that is taught in Christian baptism. The basis of our message will be from Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, where we read, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Paul in Romans chapter 6 is teaching us the kind of life that comes as the result of having been justified freely by grace, the kind of life that flows out of being united to Jesus Christ, the kind of life that leads to heaven, and only that kind of life. He begins by asking the question in verse 1 of chapter 6, a question that must have been asked of him 1,000 times. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? In Romans chapter 5, Paul had taught clearly that we as children of God are justified, that is, made right with God, saved, not on the basis of any work we have or could do, but solely upon the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. He put it this way in verse 19 of chapter 5, "For as by one man's disobedience," that's Adam, "many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one," that's Christ, "shall many be made righteous," or right with God. In fact, he went on to say in verse 20 that the law entered, the Ten Commandments entered, that the offense or sin might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. He is saying there that grace abounds. The grace of God in Jesus Christ is greater than all of our sins, and emphatically he teaches that we are saved by grace. What takes away our sin and makes us able to stand before God? Not our works, not anything in ourselves, not anything we did or can do or any other human did or can do, nothing but the grace of God in the work of Jesus Christ once performed upon Calvary's cross. Now, in the sixth chapter, he deals with the question that would often be put to him as a result of that teaching. He asks, how are we going to respond to that wonderful grace of God? What's the implication? What shall we say to this? Shall we continue then as children of God in sin that grace may abound? May we continue in sin so that the grace of God may simply increase? There is the great objection to salvation by grace. The objection is this, that if you say salvation is entirely by the grace of God and not upon any human merit, doesn't that open the door to a life of rampant sinning? In fact, does it not invite more sinning? For the more sin there is, the more must be forgiven, and the more it is plain that God is gracious. And that reasoning lurks deep within us. Deep within the sinful nature that is ours. That sinful reasoning comes right out of the bowels of hell. It is the thinking of the devil. It's what he tries to spawn in our hearts and mind. He tries to say to us, well, if it's all of grace, you're saved by grace, then you can certainly live right now as you want. There's no consequences for sin. And the answer of the Word of God, Romans 6, verse 2, is, God forbid, that is, let it never be. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? By which Paul is saying that the justified sinner, the one who has been made right with God by grace and saved entirely by grace and forgiven, that type of sinner, that sinner justified, can't live in sin. Paul's question, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein, is a rhetorical question. Paul does not expect an answer, but he puts the question in, but he puts the answer in the question. Rhetorical questions don't expect answers. They make statements. For example, with you children, your dad says to you, how can you keep your room clean if you throw your clothes on the floor? Or your mom says to you as her daughter, how can you expect people to be friendly to you if you are not friendly? Now, when they talk that way to you, they're not looking for an answer. They're making a statement. You can't keep your room clean if everything's all over the floor. You can't have friends if you are not yourself friendly. Paul's question is not looking for an answer. It is making a statement. And the statement is, you can't. If you have been saved graciously and united to Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, and that truth lives within your soul, you can't. You are dead, says Paul. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Dead to sin. Notice the apostle did not say sin is dead. Sin is very much alive in you and me. But we are dead to sin. That is, our stance, our attitude towards sin has changed. We are died. We have died to its dominion, to its service. And dead people don't live for sin. And then in our text on baptism, Paul refers to a knowledge the Christian has which contradicts the idea of ever living a life in sin. Something that the Christian knows which makes living a life in sin abhorrent. He says, know ye not? Don't you know that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, in a new life. Paul is saying, when the testimony of your baptism is heard, when you understand what your baptism means, that you are united to Christ and raised, then that will motivate you to live a new and godly life. The point of the passage is simply this. The baptized walk in newness of life. Now, Paul is teaching that holy baptism, the ceremony of baptism, represents the reality that grace has united us to Jesus Christ. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. We were identified with Christ. We were joined or united to Christ. Note that Paul assumes that all Christians will have been baptized and will know what their baptism means. Paul assumes baptism to be practiced in the Christian church and that the Christians will have been taught the significance of their baptism. Paul is writing this letter of Romans to the believers in Rome. He had never been there yet. He's writing to the church composed of converts, adults, aged and young and children, and he assumes that they have been baptized. He is speaking to us as justified believers in Jesus Christ. He's speaking to us and he says, what shall we say? We who by the grace of God have been justified, shall we continue in sin? And then he says in verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized? So the point is simply this. He is assuming that believers and their children have been baptized. He says, shall we, God's people, adults, children, youth, the church, shall we continue in sin? No. No, we can't. We won't do that. Why? That would contradict the meaning of our baptism. No, he says those who are baptized will understand that that can't be, that they continue in sin. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? So he is assuming that baptism has been performed and that it is common knowledge as to what that baptism means. You have been taught then what it means. That's fundamental. He is assuming that the duty of the Christian church is to teach what baptism means, not to some advanced class, not to a church graduate school, but this is the basics. You were baptized, and you must know the meaning of your baptism. The fundamental truth of baptism is that it represents our union to Jesus Christ. He says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death?" Real baptism, of which the ceremony or sacrament of baptism is a sign, real baptism is the permanent change that has taken place, that you have been placed by God's grace through the blood of his Son into Christ, into union with Christ. You have been identified with Christ. The use of the word baptism in Scripture shows that. We read in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 and 2, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea," or the Red Sea. We read there, "baptized unto Moses." What does that mean? It means that they were identified with Moses. By passing through the Red Sea upon dry ground, they were identified with Moses. The Israelites were baptized. They were not immersed, by the way. They didn't even get their feet wet. The only ones who were immersed were the Egyptians. But going back to the passage through the Red Sea was a permanent identification of the people of Israel with Moses, the type of Christ. Before, they were slaves in Egypt. They were under the bondage of Pharaoh. They could have returned and sworn their allegiance to Pharaoh. But when they passed through the Red Sea, they left Egypt behind, and they were identified as those who were joined to Moses on the journey to Canaan. So our text. We have been baptized unto Christ, unto his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Baptism represents the truth that the grace of God comes to separate us from the world, to identify us with Christ so that we can't go back. We have been taken out of the realm of the service of sin and now belong to Christ. Another passage, Galatians 3:27. "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Put on Christ. You have clothed yourself with Christ. You who have been baptized into Christ are now identified with Christ. Just like a little child identifies herself with her mother when she plays dress up in mother's clothes, or as a soldier identifies himself with his country when he puts on that uniform of the army, so those baptized into Christ are been marked, have been identified as the ones united by grace to Christ, as the ones who have died to the old life of sin and transformed to a new life in Christ, or been placed in Christ, identified with Christ in every respect. The question is, shall we continue in sin? God forbid! Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ? Baptism, the meaning of baptism is that you have been joined to the Savior Christ, taken out of one realm, sin, the dominion of sin, into a blessed realm, forgiveness and the service of God. Understand that baptism then is not quasi-membership in Jesus Christ. If you're baptized, you don't have some halfway status between the world and the church. You're in a little bit no man's land. No. The reality of baptism is this person is identified with Christ. The question is this: With whom are you identified? The world or Christ? When Israel stood on the other side of the Red Sea, it was very plain where they stood. They were identified with Moses. They were on their way to Canaan, no longer in the bondage of Egypt. So also those who are baptized, it is very plain where they stand. They stand with Christ. Now we must understand that this reality of being united to Christ is not accomplished by the sacrament of baptism itself, but that the sacrament of baptism is the sign and pledge of what the Holy Spirit performs when He unites us to Christ. There's much misunderstanding here. The sacrament of baptism, or the ceremony of baptism itself, does not have power to unite us to Christ. It's a sign. The sacrament does not affect our union to Christ, but is a symbol of what the grace of God does. The sacrament is not the instrument to join us to Christ. It is the symbol that the renewing of the Holy Spirit alone can do that. The sacrament, of course, of baptism is important in that Christ wills to give to us, His child, a visible sign and pledge of the spiritual reality that I have united you to myself, but the sacrament in itself has no power to perform that union. So therefore, we don't boast in the sacrament. We don't say, nothing to worry, the water was sprinkled or given to me. No, but we say, I belong to Christ. I walk in newness of life. By the grace of God, I have been united to Christ, and Christ has given to me a sign and a pledge of that blessed reality, Christian baptism. The implication of your baptism is the most profound thing that you could possibly imagine. It means that now you are dead to a life of sin and alive to God. In the words of verse 11 of Romans 6, reckon ye yourselves to be dead to sin, indeed to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Reckon, consider, think. You have been baptized into Christ. What does that represent? It represents our spiritual truth, that the Spirit has united you to Jesus Christ, identified you with Him for time and eternity. You're identified with Christ. What did He come to do? Well, He came to die on a cross for sin. He was buried. He rose the third day. And all this He did in order to wrench us free from the condemnation and the service of sin, from the guilt and from the dominion of sin. Baptized into Christ means that you are now dead to sin. The guilt of it removed, yes. But your standing towards sin, your relationship towards sin has forever been changed. Belonging to Christ means that your relationship to sin is forever changed. You're not on the side of sin. You're no longer its willing ally. There's a fundamental change. You're dead to it. You can't go back to the old relationship in which you lived for it. But baptism means that united to Christ, that old relationship that we had towards sin is dead, and we are now alive unto God. There has been then a profound break with sin's dominion. That's the implication of baptism. Therefore, says the apostle, we are bound with Christ by baptism unto death. We are buried with Christ. He says baptism is really like a burial. Burial is unchangeable. Burial puts the deceased person out of this world permanently. We view a dead body of our loved one. We bring flowers. The body is there. But then the body is buried. It's placed in the ground and covered with earth. It cannot come back to this life. Now, Paul wants to emphasize the finality of our being removed from the dominion of sin unto the blessed rule of Christ. You have not only died to sin, but in Christ you have been buried to it. You can't go back willingly to the service of sin. Oh, yes, sin is there. Sin still wars. Sin still attacks us in our flesh and we fall foolishly. But in Christ, that old relationship is broken. We are buried with Christ. That's the implication of baptism. We are alive to God. Do you think that your baptism is of relative unimportance? Do you think about it occasionally? Do you say, oh yes, when I was a little girl, my family tells me that I was baptized. The Word of God says that baptism is a sign and a pledge to a believer that God has united me, identified me with Jesus Christ irrevocably, and God has separated me from a life lived under the bondage and folly of sin, impenitent sin, and now has irrevocably given to me to live in Christ. In Paul's day, baptism was viewed perhaps more significant, more dramatic than we do. The closest thing that we can imagine is if we place ourselves in Saudi Arabia or Pakistan or Iraq to be baptized then. What would that mean? It might be one thing if you were taken by God's grace out of bondage of false religion in those countries and brought to the Christian church so that you were seen listening to the preaching. Perhaps they saw you attending a Bible study, having fellowship with other Christians, and having the Apostle Paul or having the minister over to your house. But then if you are baptized, baptism would be the clear confession that you now are loyal to the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, above all else, regardless of the outcome. Baptism was the confession in Paul's day, Christ, not Caesar. Perhaps today the profound significance of baptism is blurred, but let the Word of God awaken us. As dramatic as the Red Sea, that was dramatic. The people who passed through lived. They were separated forever from bondage in Egypt. So also dramatic is our baptism. The purpose of our baptism, that we should walk in newness of life. Our walk, very simply, is our life as we live it from our hearts. That we should walk in the newness of the life of Jesus Christ, that resurrection life of Christ. Child of God, do you know what your baptism means? Baptism is the most profound and blessed truth. It represents to you the truth that the grace of God by His Spirit has united you to a living Lord who not only paid for the guilt of your sin, but tore down the bondage and the bars of sin, and now lives in you so that you live for Him and to Him. The great evidence of your baptism, of its reality, will be this. God will give you daily repentance to know your sin, to hate your sin, to flee your sin, and to find the inestimable joy of living in Christ. God bless His Word to our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for the Word, and again we ask for its blessing upon our souls. In Jesus' name, Amen.